This is 161st Street, Yankee Stadium.
Welcome back to another episode of the Four Train Savages podcast, episode number 131. And Tyler, today we welcome on a very special guest to the pod, the voice of the New York Yankees on the Yes Network, Michael Kay. Michael, thank you for joining us today. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you for joining us. So, yeah, we'll just hop right into it. The Yankees had themselves an active offseason. We would like to know how you would evaluate what the Yankees did this offseason with re-signing Aaron Judge, signing Carlos Rodon, and the other moves that transpired.
Well, obviously the biggest thing they had to do, job one, was they had to sign Judge for several reasons. On field, obviously, he's their best player. He's arguably the best player in the major leagues at this point, coming off a 62 home run season. And also you have to realize, and I think the Yankees realize this as well, this is the entertainment industry. And the fans adore Aaron Judge. So I think it was sign him at any price, however many years he wanted, and they got that done. Then they expanded their payroll and they got Rodon, which I thought was really important. Now also considering with the injury to Frankie Montas, that becomes even more important because everybody else would move up a spot if Rodon wasn't there. The one thing that they didn't accomplish during this offseason, and the offseason's not over yet, is left field is still a very big question mark. Mm-hmm. But, you know, re-signing Anthony Rizzo was a big deal as well. And maybe that was a little bit of a hint that Judge was going to come back because the two of them are so close. But, you know, the deal they got Rizzo for is actually a pretty good deal when you see how the market exploded. You know, 2 years that I think if they pick up the third year option, 17 or 18 a year is pretty good in this market.
Yeah, no, Michael, I totally agree. I thought this was a real statement year in a way for not just Brian Cashman, but specifically Hal Steinbrenner and how he interacted with Aaron Judge and got everything done. But you mentioned Frankie Montas and obviously Domingo Germán, we expect to slide into that fifth role. Do you think there's a big drop off there in terms of floor to ceiling production, or are you comfortable with Germán in that five role or potentially a Germán and Clark type of deal, or, you know, kind of see what we can get from there?
Well, I mean, to be totally honest, if Frankie Montas was going to be what they expected him to be before he had the shoulder injury in Oakland and then late last season, he's a better pitcher than Germán. But, you know, Germán is serviceable and certainly can do the job, and he certainly has stretches where he can be dominant. But, I mean, we can't kid anybody. Montas was being counted on heavily, and, you know, they say a month, but, you know, this is a shoulder injury that bothered him in Oakland. Then it bothered him last year with the Yankees. Then after an entire offseason, it's still bothering him. So to me, that's a concern. But you know, they do have the arms to fill in the slot, obviously, especially after getting Rodon. You know, if Herman's not sharp, they could use Clark Schmidt, as you mentioned. But yeah, it's a drop off. You know, you can't put lipstick on a pig.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say it's a huge drop off, but it's a drop off.
Yeah. I mentioned to Rob last pod, I said we all kind of talked ourselves into being comfortable and happy with Frankie Montas in the fifth spot. We were like, hey, that's kind of the worst compliment you could get as a starter, I feel like, at some point, is, hey, we're cool with you in the fifth spot. We're cool with you almost on the bench. But now that he's not there, we'll definitely see how it plays out long term.
Well, you know what? When they – obviously, everybody's first choice was Castillo last year.
Yeah.
But they didn't want to part with what the Reds wanted from the Yankees. I don't blame them. They probably wanted – either Peraza or Volpe or Dominguez. And Yankees thought that was too steep a price to pay. So they moved on to their next, which was Montas. And he was highly regarded. But, you know, it's hard to pitch when you're not feeling great. And, you know, if he's healthy on this staff, he'd be, a three or four starter because Severino is so good when he's healthy. But I see what you're saying about the fifth starter. But right now he's just in hold.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So you kind of hinted at, what could they potentially do with maybe left field? Because that's the big concern that even Yankee fans will, even after all of the offseason moves that did happen, getting Judge, getting Rodon, getting Canely back, they'll say, well, what's going on with the left side of the entire field when you look at third base and shortstop and then left field? So we heard the Jerks and Profar rumors yesterday, and that had the Yankee Twitter the streets were hot with that. So do you think, and there were rumors that coming into the spring training that it's looking like it's going to be a battle between Aaron Hicks and Oswaldo Cabrera. So do you see that them making a move late into spring training or around spring training, similarly to what they did when they traded for IKF and Donaldson, even though we're not the biggest fan of that trade at that time? But do you see them kind of, as it heads in, that they could make another deal?
I think they're still trying. You know, obviously Reynolds is on everybody's radar, but the Pirates, they have a guy who's a good player who has 3 years left before he becomes a free agent. They're not in any hurry, and they are asking for King's ransom. And I don't think the Yankees want to do it. I mean, you hear things like from the group of Peraza, Volpe, and Dominguez, they want at least two of those three. And the Yankees are probably thinking that's too much. So right now that's on hold unless the Pirates come down. I don't think the Pirates will come down because, again, there's no urgency. As for Profar, you know, I heard that John Morosi, clip, and I really respect John a lot. But when he mentioned that Jurickson Profar is looking for $15 million a year,
that's
a non-starter. I mean, I mean, when you look, the Red Sox just paid Adam Duvall $7 million a year for 1 year. And Duvall, you could argue, is a better player than Jurickson Profar. Now, Scott Boras is Jurickson's agent and obviously can ask for anything, but I would be absolutely stunned if anybody gives him $15 million a year. Now, if the price drops precipitously, maybe the Yankees would be interested. But guys, to be honest, he doesn't have all the skill sets that the Yankees like. You know, he is a switch hitter. He's a pretty good defender. But if you look inside the offensive numbers, they don't jump off the page at you for an analytic team. So I think that, you know, they would go that route if, in fact, he is more reasonable in terms of price. But you know it, and Yankee fans don't want to hear it. They do have Aaron Hicks signed for 3 more years at $10 million a year. So I think they will give him a shot because there's something still in there. He's been a massive disappointment for the first 4 years of the contract, but I guess you can dream on the fact that he does have a decent on-base percentage and he's not a bad left fielder and his arm looked like it got better toward the end of the year, but that's not their ideal situation. But, you know, as you mentioned, it'll probably be at the start of spring training between Hicks and Cabrera. But remember one thing, guys, you know, they can rejigger the team at the trade deadline. That's always what good teams do. So they could see for 2 months exactly what's cooking, what's working. And then by that point, some teams will have fallen out of a wild card race and some left fielders that might not be available now might shake free. And maybe the Yankees can investigate that.
Yeah. I think the biggest gripe that Yankee fans have consistently with Aaron Hicks is that somehow the ball always finds him in the worst time. You know, that happened quite a few times last year, and it just gives Yankee fans a reason to be upset. But I like what you said. I think Jurickson Profar is pretty much has the same ceiling as Aaron Hicks in the long run. But we talked about Peraza and Volpe a little bit, or Volpe, excuse me. Do you think there's a world, Michael, where if Donaldson has a similar year towards last year, say he had, you know, the glove is really there, he's playing great defense, the offensive numbers are next to nothing. Is there a world that we live in where there's a possibility that Peraza and Volpe could, one of the two could potentially play more games at third than Donaldson, strictly, you know, not regarding injury?
Well, there's a couple of layers to that. I don't think there's a world. I think the only way you'd see both of them would be if you know DJ LeMahieu is healthy, and then that would free them up maybe to think about trading Torres. Then you know at least that Peraza or Volpe could play second, or DJ could play second. And then if Donaldson is struggling offensively, then they could always move DJ LeMahieu over to third.
Yeah.
They're comfortable with him. But guys, I got to tell you, and I said this on the radio show the other day, so many fans have come up to me and said, it's really a shame the Yankees aren't able to trade Donaldson. And I'm telling you, they don't want to trade him.
No.
They love him.
That scares me a little bit.
Absolutely love him. They love the defense that he plays. And they look at, and if you heard Jack Curry's interview last night on the Hot Stove with Boone, they just think that the offense is still in there and that last year was an outlier, that he can still hit. And, you know, they love his defense. He is a really good defensive player. So anybody who's thinking the Yankees are trying to dump that $25 million, they're not. They really like him a lot. They really like him a lot. So I think he's it. I mean, he's got a year left on his contract, and I think he'll play it out.
Yeah. To be fair, they probably know the floor, and they're just banking on the ceiling is what I'm guessing.
good way to put it.
Yeah.
We've been saying that all offseason. We see Yankees Twitter talking about it. How can we dump Donaldson? It's just, it's not realistic to really do when you got that money committed. But I wanted to bring it back to the past season and talk about the absolute insane run that and season that Aaron Judge went on, and just the history that you were able to witness in the broadcast booth and obviously us as fans. And I was curious to know, where did, and obviously he gave us a few of the moments with 60, 61, 62, but I was curious, where did those calls rank for you personally in your career calling Yankee games, and where would those go up for you? Was it 60 that was better for you, 62, 61? How did it go?
Wow. I mean, it's a good question. And because I'm so lucky, and I know I am, I hope people realize to be the Yankee announcer for as long as I have and see many great moments. You know, when you have a record-breaking home run like that and a record-tying home run, it should be in the top three. But, you know, that darn Derek Jeter kind of like moved in the top and won't leave. So, I don't know. I mean, I was happy with all three calls. If you want me to rank them, I'd say that everything put together, guys, the best one with all the production and the fact that we had the mom and Roger Maris Jr. sitting with each other was probably 61. Because, I mean, everything just came together, the pictures and obviously the achievement of getting 61 and the fact that I could squeeze in the Phil Rizzuto thing, which was kind of an homage to his call of Roger Maris's 61. That would probably be my favorite of the three. 60 would be my second favorite, and 62 would probably be my third. But I'm not embarrassed by any of them. I think they're okay. And probably the best compliment I got was after the day after he hit the 62nd. I was in the clubhouse in Texas, and out of the blue, he just calls me over to his locker, and he goes, "That was a really good call. Thank you."
Oh, that must have been awesome.
It really is a good feeling, because it's not about ego. It's not about, you know, you want to be part of history. You're not part of history. Just to a small extent, you're kind of the soundtrack. But I never want to screw up a call like that, because that person has to live with that screw up on their great moment, which might take away from their great moment. I just want to be solid enough where it's not even an issue. And I don't think it was. And the fact that, you know, I didn't initiate the contact, he came over to me and said that he thought it was a really good call. That meant a lot to me. And that's really the only thing I look for in that call. I even told Derek Jeter this. I never want to embarrass the moment. So as long as I didn't do that, I'm cool.
Yeah. Hey, I think we can speak for a lot of Yankee fans that you definitely brought the moment into our living room. It definitely felt like that. But last question.
I'll tell you one thing. Of all the great moments I've had the opportunity to call, those three home runs were probably the most stressful, because of now with the advent of social media, which wasn't around when I said history with an exclamation point and all that. And, you know, Derek Jeter history, you know, what was that? Fantasy reality. It wasn't as prevalent then. Everybody had an opinion. Everybody was going to critique it. Everybody was like giving me calls. And I said, dude, don't tell me what call to make.
Yeah.
When the ball could be actually hit out of Yankee Stadium, and that's going to like supersede the call. So you can't plan calls like that. So there was a lot of stress, much more than I cared to admit at the time, but I'm just glad I got through it okay.
Wasn't there, I think there was a game in Fenway, I think where Coney and I don't know if it was Flaherty were talking to you about talking through your calls and what you would do. And you were just sitting in the back, and just hearing them, and you were just chuckling. So I think we saw that on full display of how they were kind of.
Well, you know, what's funny with Coney, as you guys know, he's a prankster, and he knows exactly stuff that I'm going through, and he knows exactly the pressure that I was under. So he just wanted to lift the curtain for the world, tell everybody exactly what I was dealing with, and also send a message to the people that I was dealing with that stuff, you know, just back off, because, you know, just working with David, you realize why he was such a great teammate, because even in our small little world, and yes, he is the best teammate. He's a go-to guy. If anything's going wrong, you have to deal with like up higher ups. You just let David do it. He's the absolute best.
I believe it. What a guy. I love listening to you three, especially you, Paul, and David, when we get the chance. But last question before we let you go, Michael, we appreciate your time. So I'm an avid listener of your show, The Michael K Show, and you guys are on there all the time. People are calling in, joking, calling you Yankee boy and whatnot. How, as people, me and Rob, we're smaller in the Twitter streets, but we're growing. how can we do God's work and kind of extinguish that in some way? Because I think we've learned after, you know, the postseason that, hey, Michael Kay is not Yankee boy.
Well, I mean, I would have said that, you know, I was pretty harsh on them in the Houston series, which didn't please a lot of people with the Yankees. So
social media loved it, though.
Yeah, it's funny. If you please social media, you're probably not pleasing your boss and the people that actually, you know, control whether you're employed. But you can't really please everybody. You just have to be true to yourself. It's tough. It's tough having a radio show because people go, "Oh, Kay's a different person on the radio show than he is on the games." Yeah, it's a different
job.
I'm not there to give my opinions on the games. That's David and Paul and Flaherty. They're giving their opinions. I'm just kind of like the point guard. But in the radio show, I've got to give an opinion. Otherwise, I don't have a show. But I just think it's become a thing now. People like saying it, Yankee boy. But if they understood the stuff that I take from both sides, they would understand it's not Yankee boy. But, you know, the fact that you're offering and you guys are such big Yankee fans, that means something to me. Because, I mean, I truly do. The stuff that I say, I really feel. Nobody's telling me what to say. And I'm not like pumping anybody up or putting lipstick on a pig. I'm just saying what I believe, and that's what I've done, you know, the 32 years that I've been the Yankee announcer, and that's what I'll continue to do. And will it rub people the wrong way? Yes. Sometimes it rubs fans the wrong way because that's not what they want to hear. I mean, they're so, like, pumped up, and, you know, they want action right away, and have to realize baseball's like a stew. It's not a microwave sport.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to breathe a little bit, and changes will be made in due time. And, you know, one of the things that I'm getting jumped on, I'm sure you guys see, when they were about to sign Rodon, I said, Rodon's going to be a big deal, but they're working on something even bigger. And I mean, they haven't done it. I never said they were going to definitely do something bigger. I said they were working on it, which they were. And obviously it hasn't happened and it might not happen, but people have good memories and, you know, they have screenshots and stuff.
Oh, the internet never forgets.
No, never forget. So I'm certainly aware of that, but I'm not somebody who like comments on things during games on the internet, because you could have egg all over your face and then you're on cold, you know, old takes exposed and stuff like that. But it is what it is. A small price to have such a great job.
Yeah. Well, thank we you, appreciate Michael. You keep doing it. We'll let you go. We really appreciate your time. Real quick, I know you guys are talking probably a lot of Giants today. Who do you got in the game tomorrow? I'm a huge Giants fan. I don't know how we're feeling against Philly. When this comes out, it'll probably be over and the pain will be over, but, you know, or maybe the jubilation, but I don't know. What do you think?
Well, I hope you don't hate me for this, but I'm leaning toward picking the Eagles because I just think the Eagles are better. I guess a lot of it falls on Jalen Hurts. If Jalen Hurts is close to 100%, they should win the game.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, they've got 70 sacks. They've got stars on both sides of the ball. It comes down to Hurts. The Giants have exceeded everybody's expectation, and I'm almost wondering when do they turn into the pumpkin. Maybe they don't. Maybe they end up in Phoenix for the Super Bowl, but I think it's a tough game. I really do. Giant fan, what do you think?
They're playing hot.
Who are you rooting for?
They're playing hot, and I don't want to. The 2007 and 2011, I think it's always far-fetched because that was just a lot. But I think when they get to – if they got to the conference championship, that's a whole other bag. But I think there's a potential they could squeeze a little magic here. But it all kind of depends, like, what is Hurts? Are they really saying that he's – how healthy is he? What's going on there? So – we'll have to see, but I think they're playing their best offensive football of the season at the right time, which is what we got to have.
I don't know if this will make you feel better. It might make you feel worse, but LaGreca has said if they win Saturday, they're going to the Super Bowl.
Don may be a smart man. I'm hoping. But we'll let you go to them and Don and Peter. So thanks very much for joining us. Best of luck with the season coming up. We're hoping that we could see some more winning Yankee baseball and continue to listen to you on the call.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys. Build up the podcast and I'll pop on again if you need me.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you.